Hear the word of the Lord this morning from Lamentations 3, 22 through 24. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for him.
This comes from the book of Micah, chapter 6, verse 8. He has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God.
My reading comes from Ephesians and the book of James, and it reads, "But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved." James says, "Speak and act as those who are going to be judged by the law that gives freedom, because judgment without mercy will be shown to everyone who has not been merciful." Mercy triumphs over judgment.
How many people know where the book of Lamentations is? Raise your hand. Okay, I don't. It's between Isaiah and Ezekiel, so now you know. This morning is the last Sunday and last day in December and the last of the year 2017. When we think of 2017, we must look back. However, we are on the brink of a new month of January and a new year of 2018. We are on the brink of new, where we must look forward. I want us to think about the word new for a few minutes. My suspicions are that you got something new for Christmas. Maybe you're wearing it this morning. If you were moderately nice last year rather than naughty, you probably at least got some new underwear and socks. If you were nicer than moderate, then you may have gotten a new shirt or pants or dress or shoes. I have a 10-year-old granddaughter who my wife Anna and my daughter Kelly like to take shopping. I hold my breath on Christmas Day when presents are unwrapped, and Anna and Kelly will have bought something that her parents are not particularly ready for their 10-year-old daughter to wear. This year, there was a dress that borders on the dangerous, not for the skin or the leg that it shows, but for the shine of the material. And when Kennedy tried it on later, it actually looked very beautiful, but it scared me for a while. It was new. I got a gift card for new shoes from Dillard's, a gift card for new lawn tools from Lowe's, money for a new laptop at home. I even got new earbuds for the treadmill at the gym. I thought I might be getting a new car for Christmas until my old one got fixed 3 weeks faster than first predicted. And after I thought about how much I like not having a car payment, I decided that that was one of the finest things that ever happened to me. Do I hear any amens? The best new things in my life, however, are the mercies of God. And that is where I want to land this morning. The book of Lamentations is a very obscure book in the Old Testament, located between the books of Jeremiah and Ezekiel. It is generally believed that Jeremiah is the author of the book. It is a strange book in that it is formatted as five poems. As a matter of fact, if you would look at the book of Lamentations, it's all written in prose. There's not a single verse that is not written in prose. Its themes are harsh. They are about deep pain and raw hurt. The poems cry out for help from God and ask him to see the pain of the people who've been carried out of Jerusalem and into exile in Babylon. But then right dead center of the book are three powerful verses of hope. The speaker says that because God's love is so great that his people are not consumed, and that his mercy never fails. As a matter of fact, he says, God's mercies are new every morning. Now, let's talk about mercies for a moment. The word mercy comes out of the concept of relationship, particularly the relationship between God and Israel. It is a relationship of covenant. God promised Israel that he would be their God and they would be his people. And Israel said, yes, we can live with that. But the only problem was that Israel very rarely ever acted like they were God's people. They were not faithful to God. They chased after other gods of other people. God wanted his people to act with character and integrity, and Israel rarely did. I read an anonymous quote several weeks ago that I wrote down on a post-it note, and I've kept it by my computer, and I've wanted to use it in a message. But I have to tell you, folks, sometimes there are things that are so pointed in my life that it's like, no, that's a little too dangerous to read. It says, act so that you can tell the truth about how you act. Act so you can tell the truth about how you act. Sometimes I don't act like God wants me to act, and so that pushes me. Israel rarely acted like God wanted her to act, and that's where mercy comes in. Mercy can also be translated faithful, loyal, compassionate, kind. Grace and mercy are often spoken together in the New Testament, but while their differences are subtle, they are significant. Grace is what we receive that we do not deserve. We do not deserve forgiveness. We do not deserve compassion, but out of the great love of God in Christ Jesus, we receive it anyway. So grace is what we receive that we do not deserve. Mercy is what we do not get that we do deserve. We deserve punishment. We deserve death. We deserve to be thrown away and abandoned. But God, in his great love, has instead withheld the devastating judgment we deserve and spared us. God has the power to punish or harm us, and he does not. Jesus shows us the difference between someone who does not understand mercy and someone who does. In the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector in Luke 18, the Pharisee and the tax collector go up to the temple to pray. The Pharisee is haughty and arrogant. He thanks God that he is better than all men. And then he lists all the things that he does not do and all the things he does do. He'd be a good Nazarene. Then the tax collector prays. He would not even look up to heaven, but he humbles himself and he says, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus concludes that parable by saying it is the tax collector who went home right with God that day. And then this is the great thing. Lamentations 3 says that the mercies of God are new every morning. That means that God never runs out. The Apostle Paul writes in Ephesians 2 that God is rich in mercy. N.T. Wright says, God loved us with a great love, saved us with a great grace, has lavished kindness on us and the mercy he shows to us. I love Psalm 50. Psalm 50 teaches us that God is so rich that he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He owns every animal of the forest. He owns every bird of the air. He owns every creature of the field. Think about that. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? But you know what? What should really matter to us is not that God owns all those things, but that God is rich in mercy. So the next time you start thinking that God is stingy or mean or small-minded, remember Ephesians 2. Is there anyone here this morning that needs to believe that God is rich in mercy and that his mercy is new every morning and that you have not used up your supply? I teach a Sunday school class called Early Christians, and 98% of us are in our 60s or 70s or 80s and some in their 90s. That means that we are not spring chickens. It also means that we have had a lot of experience with life. And on more than one occasion, I have asked the class if there has ever been a time in their life when they did something or said something so wrong, so embarrassing, that when they remember it, they want to hide their head. And because it happened so long ago, it's not possible to go back and undo it and do any of it. And almost always, everyone in the class shakes their head that it is true. I ask the question because periodically I remember something that I am so ashamed of that I cannot believe I did it or said it, but I did. And if I continue to think about it, it would break me. So I have to ask for mercy from God. Forgive me, Lord. I do not deserve to be forgiven, but forgive me and do not pay me back what I deserve. And then God gives me mercy. Fortunately, I talk with people who need to let go of something in their past that haunts them, and they tell me over and over that they have the ability to forgive others, but that they cannot forgive themselves. So I ask them this question: are you more important than God? If God can forgive you, pardon you, grant you mercy, why can you not receive it? I know you think you deserve much worse, don't we all? But that is what mercy is about. We do not get what we deserve. Think about it, folks. Mercy means that we do not get what we deserve because God pardons us. As recorded in Matthew 5:7, Jesus said, "Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy." There seems to be a reciprocity about mercy. We get it as we give it. We receive it as we bestow it on others. Lowood Ogilvie takes it another step further. He says, "You cannot give mercy until you have received it, because you would not understand it." I think that's such a powerful thought. You really can't give anybody else mercy until you know what it is to receive it. Once you have been forgiven, you have a great compulsion to forgive. I can testify this morning that I'm frequently reminded by the Holy Spirit of all that God has done in my life and what little He expects in return in comparison. I think it is what makes the parable of the unmerciful servant so terrible. How could you be forgiven an unpayable debt and then choke someone who owes you less than nothing? Thomas Long writes, "The merciful are people who show kindness to others, who are more eager to forgive than to punish, more ready to show compassion than to exact their due. True mercy grows not out of intrinsic human goodness, but out of the grateful awareness that God is merciful." Now, frequently when I'm preaching, I tell you about the difference between my wife and myself, our basic nature. Anna, I think it's unfair. I don't think it's right. It's a problem that I have with God. Anna was born good, okay? She's just born good. She's born sweet. I'm not sure she even has to put forth any effort. That's not fair, is it? It's really not fair. And I'm not that way at all. I am not that way. But in this situation, this is where I have it over Anna. I know what it's like to experience the magnificent mercy of God because I so desperately need it. And then it's easy for me to give to other people. True mercy grows not out of intrinsic human goodness, but out of the grateful awareness that God is merciful. That mercy is new every morning. I do not have to use yesterday's mercy to help me, to cover me. I can ask for new mercy every morning. God is rich in mercy. That does not mean that I can go and live like the devil and then trust the new mercy of God, because that would be the first proof that I did not live in a right relationship with God. But it does mean that my relationship can be new every morning with God, that I can start fresh without guilt, without shame. Do you need a relationship with God like that this morning? Imagine what it'd be like to get up in the morning, put your feet on the floor, and before you get out of bed, say, "Dear God, I need new mercies right now. I need them right now. I need you, whatever it is I've done, whatever it is I've said, however it is that I've acted, I need your mercy. Would you give me your mercy?" There's a powerful text in the Old Testament book of Micah, chapter 6, verse 8. It asks, "And what does the Lord require of you And then he leaves, he gives the threefold answer: to act justly, to love mercy, to walk humbly with God. The questions from previous verses ask if God wants ritual and ceremony from us. And the answer is that what God wants more is justice and mercy and humility. Daniel Simonson writes, God is more interested in the way we live our everyday lives than in our religious practices. In other words, God cares more about what you do on Tuesday than how you act on Sunday. Can I say that again? God cares more about what you do on Tuesday than how you act on Sunday. Oh, it's easy to get up on Sunday and act spiritual, right? Once you get out of the house and you don't have to bother with all the people in the house. You may have yelled and screamed all morning, but when you get to church, boy, that smile comes on your face. Everybody thinks what a wonderful person you are, what a wonderful family you have, how perfect your children are. Only you know. Only you know. It's easy to act spiritual on Sunday. God cares more about what you do on Tuesday than how you act on Sunday. Justice is something you do. Mercy is something we give. Humility is something we live. Think with me of the parable of the rich man and Lazarus in Luke 16. A rich man passed Lazarus by day after day at the gate to his house as Lazarus longed to eat the scraps from his table. When Lazarus died, he went to heaven. And when the rich man died, he went to Hades, which is the place of the dead. And the rich man called out to Abraham and asked him if he would send Lazarus to bring him some water. And Abraham told the rich man that that chasm could not be crossed. And the rich man then asked Abraham to send Lazarus to his father's house to warn his five brothers so that they would not come to where he was. But Abraham told him that if his brothers would not listen to the words of Moses and the prophets, that they would not listen to a man who rose from the dead. And there are several lessons here relative to mercy. First, if the rich man had shown Lazarus some mercy, he may not have landed in Hades. If he had bothered to give him some food, invite him to his table, things could have been different. We need to remember that the rich man did not abuse Lazarus. He did not kick him or tell him to stay away from his gate. Rather, he ignored him and did nothing. Justice is something you do. It's not something you wish. Have you thought about any of the homeless people who were out in the cold the past few nights? Can you imagine what it would be like to sleep on the streets for the past few nights, as cold as it's been? Have you thought about those people? You should have. Does everyone have a warm place to sleep? They should. Sarah Kukuvi has written us that the drought in Kenya was severe this year, and just when the people in Tawa should be harvesting their beans, there are none to harvest. So she asked if we could help. Is it time to have a poverty dinner of beans and potatoes and water with baskets at the end of the table? Because justice is something you do. You don't say, well, I wish your beans had grown. Does it bother anyone besides me that the people in Puerto Rico still are without electricity after 4 months following the destructive forces of the hurricane that tore through their country? I am not assigning blame this morning. I am wondering what I can do. Justice is something you do. The second thing is, are we listening to the words of Moses and the prophets? Are we listening to the words of Micah this morning? Could Abraham accuse us? Mercy is something we give. We give because we have received. The last of our text scriptures this morning is from the book of James. In chapter 2, James says, judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. And then in a blast, he said, mercy triumphs over judgment. Mercy is something given to us so that we do not receive what we deserve. And mercy is something we give to others even when they do not deserve it. Jesus would vote for that. He is the one, after all, who warned us about trying to pick the speck out of our brother's eye while we live with the plank in our own. He is the one who warned us about straining out a gnat while we swallow a camel. He is the one who has warned us about laying a load on someone's shoulders that is too heavy to lift and then not helping them to lift. Mercy is something we give because we have been given. And then humility is something we live. We live in a world of arrogance. We live in a world where people exaggerate their accomplishments and achievements and their value. I think of the man whose crops were so plentiful that he decided to build bigger barns so he could eat and drink and be merry. And that night he died and everything he owned went to someone else. A good dose of Proverbs might help us. Proverbs 16:18, pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. Folks, if you've been acting uppity lately, you might reconsider. You might think about what you've been bragging about and all that you think you've done on your own. Proverbs 18:2, a fool finds no pleasure in understanding, but delights in airing his own opinions. Proverbs 20:19, avoid a man who talks too much. I think we need to listen to Moses and the prophets. Could we think back over these scriptures this morning? Are you in need of mercy so that you do not receive what you deserve? Are you in need of mercy that is new every morning because God is rich in mercy? He does not run out. Are you having difficulty forgiving yourself for some great shame or guilt in your past and you are not allowing God to grant you mercy? Are you smarter than God? Are you greater than God? Are you more important than God? If God can forgive you and pardon you, why can you not receive it? Are you grateful that God is merciful? And does that motivate you to be merciful toward others? Are you acting justly, loving mercy, living humbly? To understand that God cares more about what you do on Tuesday than how you act on Sunday? Are you ignoring someone you should be helping? I don't know the answer to that question, but you do. Is there someone who you're supposed to be helping and you've just been passing them by? Do you listen to the prophets or are there words for another time and another place? Do you tend to pick specks out of the eyes of others? Do you get lost in straining out bits of nothing and paying no attention to the things that are wrong with you? Are you judgmental rather than merciful? Do you recognize that the world is not right and that arrogance makes God absolutely nauseous? May God help us in this new year's to think of the new hope we have in 2018. May God do a work in us that causes us to believe and receive mercies new every morning. Do you need that? Folks, let me just briefly just speak to you a moment. Do you believe in mercy? Do you believe in mercy? Have you ever allowed God to grant you mercy? That means you didn't deserve it. You deserve something else. But instead of getting what you deserve, you got grace, and you got forgiveness, and you got love, and you got kindness. And then this is what Scripture says. God is rich in that stuff. He's rich in it. And then Lamentations, Jeremiah says in Lamentations that mercies are new every morning. And so have you asked for any? Have you asked for any this morning? Have you asked for any this week? Because the truth is, if you did, then you would really have to humble yourself before God and let God help you. Let's pray, and as we're praying, Carol, if all those people who are going to help you serve this morning would come and stand here, and then we're going to pass the bread this morning. Oh God, help us to think about mercies this morning. Help us to think about new mercies this morning. Mercy that is so profound that it deals with the most awful, terrible thing we've ever done, that is causes us shame and causes us guilt And we're so embarrassed that we don't like to think about it, and so we push it away. So what if this morning we would face it and we would say, oh God, I know that I do not deserve to be forgiven, but I plead for mercy this morning. Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. And then, Lord, help us to receive that mercy this morning. Help us, Lord, to love you and receive you into our lives today. For we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to pass the bread to you. And as the bread comes to you, plates of bread come to you, take a piece of bread, hold it until we have all been served, and then we will break the bread and eat the bread together. The bread represents the body of Christ. Folks, it'd be a great thing this morning as that bread comes to you and you take a piece of that bread and you hold it in your hand, that you would say to God, okay, God, this is the deal. I can't believe that you can forgive me. I can't believe that you can pardon me. I can't believe that you would, that you could. But this morning, I am going to believe the word of God. I'm going to believe that, in fact, that I can be forgiven and that I can release this and it can release me today. So I have a brand new life. Help me not to think that what I'm trusting in this morning is something old, but help me to realize this morning that this is something new. Something new is happening in my life. On the brink of this brand new year, something new, the new mercies of God are breaking into my life. And I'm going to believe them, and I'm going to receive them. This is the body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, broken for you. Break the bread. Take and eat in the knowledge that his body was broken for you because he loved you. And be thankful. And then as the trays of juice come to you this morning, if you would take a cup and hold it, until we have all been served, then we will drink together. As the bread represented the body of Christ, the juice represents the blood of Christ. Let me talk to you for a moment, even as we're receiving from the we're receiving the juice this morning. I talked to a lot of people who are trying to make their way through all the stuff that's happened in their lives and trying to get where their life is right with God. And one of the things that a lot of us forget is that all of us are human. Every person in here is human. You are flawed. You are broken. I am flawed. I am broken. I'm not perfect. You're not perfect. But we are forgiven in Christ Jesus. We are forgiven. And He has started the healing in us that will take us into glory. But until we step into eternity, we're still not perfect. So give yourself a little bit of space today. Give yourself some grace today. Give yourself some mercy today, because God gives it to you. You're not taking anything that God doesn't offer. When you pray, just pray so gut level, honestly, that it scares you to death. Sometimes I do. There's an 80-some-year-old man in a church I pastored once, and in a men's meeting one Saturday morning, I have never forgotten, he said, "Pastor, sometimes I'm so embarrassed when I ask God to forgive me that I whisper because I don't want anybody to hear." And I love that man in his 80s was able to say that in front of all those men in that room who thought he was just about the most perfect person in the world. You are only human. You are broken. And God is in the process of putting you back together and making you into the image of Christ Jesus. This the blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, preserve you blameless unto everlasting life. Take and drink in the knowledge that His blood was shed for you because He loved you. And be thankful. Oh Lord, this morning, help us to step into 2018 believing that in fact we are forgiven, we are pardoned, our hearts are clear and clean, and that Your mercies are new. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Stand up with me, please, as Christine leads us. Thank you for being here this morning. Harvey Hendershot would be proud. God bless you.